Welcome to Who's Going to Win for Week 8 of the high school football season. Just a couple of weeks left in the regular season as the playoff picture begins to come a little bit clearer each and every week as we get closer to the end. I'm Jim Field. We'll be joined by the usual cast of characters here this evening as we take a look at some of the best high school football matchups around the area here tonight. Who's Going to Win here on KJAN, brought to you each week by Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. And we'll start our program right after you listen to this from our sponsors.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, you probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Online banking adds convenience to your life. Hi, this is Ellen at Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic, and we invite our members to check out a new and easy way to be a stay-at-home banker by visiting our user-friendly website, nishnavalley.com. We have free bill pay, e-statements, you can make transfers from one account to another, look at the status of a check, fill out a loan application, and even mobile banking, and it's all on one login. Check us out at nishnavalley.com. Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. Think beyond the bank.
Well, the gang is all in with us here this week. Doug Leonard, Matt Mullenix, Chris Parks, I'm Jim Field. Thanks for joining us here this week on Who's Going to Win for week number 8. It's still a horse race, although Chris is slowly galloping just slightly ahead of the rest of us after last week. Chris went 6-2, the rest of us all went 5-3, so we all fell a game further back than where we were last week. What are you doing to us?
I don't know. I'm not doing anything.
You know, we still got the stretch to go though here.
You know, I wanted to complain about, you know, what's he doing here? He's got to be doing something. And then I looked back at the sheet from last week and I thought, you know, we gave him a limb pick with Harlan. I mean, it's our own fault. You can't do those kind of things. Here's how it went last week, by the way. We had Exira EHK beating Southwest Valley 68-13. We all had that one right. Cam beat Stanton 48-32, and we all picked Cam. AHST shut out East Mills 10-0. That was a winner for Chris and for me. It was Nottoway Valley over Trainer 35-16. My limb pick fell apart on me real fast. Griswold and Riverside. We all lost that one. We all picked Griswold, and Riverside won that 22-19. That was our broadcast game last week. Creston beat Glenwood 49-21, and that was a winner for everyone but Chris. His limb fell off. Also, Lewis Central was a loser for three of us. Harlan picked up a 24-14 win. Chris got that one right on a limb pick. And then it was Perry beating Atlantic 48-27, and we all had Perry, so that's how that goes. Again, Chris went 6-2, so he is 43-13 on the season now. And Doug and I each are 40-16, 3 games back after a 5-3 week. And Matt at 5-3 last week is now 39-17, still within shooting range. He's 4 games back here coming in. I remember, I think on that last playoff week a few years ago, I made up 5 games in 1 week. So it can still be done.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. We only have 3 weeks left here.
I don't have a clue how I did that, but
I think
it's been done.
I think the shocker of the week last week was that Helan over Carroll score.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah, that'll set, you know, Helan's got a destiny for the dome. So.
Yeah. Carroll's got to get their swagger back, I think.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's tough not to score anything.
Yeah. Let's dive in here. Tough week this week when you're looking for decent picks, competitive ball games. There are a lot of top teams playing bottom feeders in some of the games up this week. So we're going to mix it up a little bit this week. Got just one 8-man game on the list this week, and that's Southwest Valley on the road at Fremont Mills. Okay, Mr. Leader, have at it. What do you think's going to happen here?
All right. Well, the old FM Knights have been kind to me earlier in this season, and I like them here too. They played pretty well at home, and they, of course, did win that nice game earlier, just a couple weeks ago, against Sydney. Southwest Valley has also played them earlier in the year and lost a close game to them as well. So this will be a tough game and be a fun game, but I think Spencer Phillips there, the running back for Fremont Mills, will lead the charge, and Knights are going to win.
Okay, that's one for Fremont Mills. Matt, what do you like?
Well, you know, you've got a lot of similar scores, similar yards on the season between these two teams, and so, you know, it's going to be an awfully tough ball game. But I'm going to go with the Fremont Mills. Like the way they've kind of bounced back from their season opening loss and kind of got the ship going here pretty good. So I'm going to go with them at home.
Okay, that's two. Doug, what do you like?
Yeah, I agree with the previous two gentlemen. Nice thing with Fremont Mills, too. They have a quarterback who they don't throw the ball a lot, but has a nice stat line, 15 touchdowns and only one interception. So if you're going to throw the ball, it'd be nice to have a ratio like that. So I'll take Fremont Mills.
All right. That's three for Fremont Mills. You guys give me a chance for a limb pick right out of the gate, and I ain't taking it. Fremont Mills, this is a championship game for them. If they win this, they'll win the district championship. They're sitting at 5-0 right now. Southwest Valley's 4-1, and Sydney, they've already beaten. They're 4-1 as well. You know, I'm not sure what everybody looked at the beginning of the year. I kind of was liking to think that maybe Sydney might have been one of the favorites in this district coming in. But, you know, Fremont Mills, for all the talent that they've lost over the last couple of years to graduation, they just keep plodding along and keep playing well in big games. And I think they're going to do it again at home here coming up tonight to win that District 8 title. So I'm going to take the Knights as well and make it unanimous. Let's move to game two. We're going to move into Class 8 football here. We got four Class A games on the list this week. And the first one here is Earlham at Guthrie Center. Mr. Mullinex, what do you think?
Well, I think, a lot of similar scores. The teams are pretty similar across the board. The one thing that stands out, though, is Earlham has really put up a lot larger numbers, I guess, as far as offensively. And so I know this is a road game for Earlham, but I'm going to go with Earlham. I don't know what their mascot is.
That'd be the Cardinals.
Earlham Cardinals. Okay.
Learned something new today.
Yes, I did,
it's an
actually.
Educational program here on who's going to win.
Something like that.
Yeah. I want to know how far north and how far east you have to go to not know their mascots, Jim, because it seems like you know everybody in Southwest Iowa for sure.
I don't know. Not all of them. Not all of them. I don't know. It's hard. You can imagine that you could get an education on this program with four knotheads sitting here, but that's the way it goes some days. Now that I've buttered you up, Doug, what do you think?
Yeah, I appreciate. Thank you. Matt mentioned the discrepancy in total offense. Guthrie Center's barely put together 1,500 yards on the season. But the thing I like about Guthrie Center is they're playing at home, number one. And also, they lost their first three games of the year, and then they've won three out of the last four. And so I kind of like the team that's got a little bit of a momentum right now, and I'm going to take Guthrie Center.
Okay, that's one for Guthrie Center, one for Earlham. I can't figure this district out. Normally, you'd look at the teams in this district, the Madrids, the Woodward Grangers, some of those kind of ball clubs, and you'd think it's a pretty strong district. Audubon, we saw early in the season, they were still a little banged up at that point in time, so we weren't terribly impressed at that point when they played AHST. But here you go. Audubon's undefeated on top of the district. Madrid's playing better after kind of a rough start. But, you've got three teams that are all 3-2 right now, still in the mix for one of those, for two playoff spots. And these are two teams that are in the mix with Woodward Granger. Okay, there's my setup now to tell you what I know about the game is not too much. I'm not really sure. I was walked in here and I was thinking Guthrie Center at that particular time, but after looking at some of the numbers, Matt makes a good point. I think I'm going to go with the road team in this one and try Earlham out on the road and hope the bus ride is kind to them. Chris?
Yeah, like both of you, everybody's kind of said, they're two very similar teams. Both teams, their three wins are the same opponents, so it's really hard to distinguish either of them. Earlham, I think they have a little less balance than Guthrie Center. Guthrie Center will do a little bit of both things, and Earlham really hasn't hardly tried to pass at all this season. They're running back Max Cassop, I believe is how you say his name. He's got over 100 or 1,000 yards on the season and 13 touchdowns, so I think the little bit of extra offense does give them a slight advantage, so I'll go ahead and take the road team here as well. I'll go with Earlham.
Okay, that's three for Earlham, and we have one for Guthrie Center here in this game. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more Who's Gonna Win right after you listen to this.
Online banking adds convenience to your life. Hi, this is Ellen at Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic, and we invite our members to check out a new and easy way to be a stay-at-home banker by visiting our user-friendly website, nishnavalley.com. We have free bill pay, e-statements, you can make transfers from one account to another, look at the status of a check, fill out a loan application, and even mobile banking, and it's all on one login. Check us out at nishnavalley.com. Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. Think beyond the bank.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Back now on Who's Going to Win, let's move on to Game 3 of our high school football schedule this week as we take a look at East Mills at Griswold. Talk about District 8 football now in Class A. Boy, that's a jumbled district as well. You got a lot of teams still in the hunt right now. And Doug, you get first look at this one. What do you see?
Well, I think sounds like from talking with you gentlemen off the air and hearing a little bit about that Griswold game last week, I think they've got a bad taste in their mouth after that loss, and you know that might inspire them to victory this week. But you know, East Mills has had a good season. East Mills was able to beat Riverside earlier in the year when I think Riverside may have had a little more offensive weapons on the sideline or that were playing as well. So I'm going to take East Mills on the road.
Okay, one for East Mills here in this one. You know, as I said up front, this is kind of a jumbled district mess right now with Riverside's win over Griswold last week. It really kind of changed the picture. AHST is the district champ. They're already locked in there. But then you've got Logan Magnolia, Griswold, East Mills, and Riverside all sitting at 3-2, and Westwood's 2-3. I mean, they're still in the mix, too, despite what they've been doing here this year. So there are a lot of big games, and this is one of them here tonight. This is going to be a separation game. You know, we watched Griswold lose that game on the road to Riverside last week, and I Riverside played a lot of inspired football in that ballgame. I was impressed with the way they played. You never want to sit here and say I doubt the effort of the kids, but it just seemed like Griswold had a hard time getting out of the blocks in that contest. They just couldn't seem to get a good flow going. I just can't believe they're going to do that 2 weeks in a row, especially at home with so much on the line right now. They really need this game. I'm going to take the Tigers at home. Chris?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. Doug already mentioned the comparable score there against Riverside, and I think, you know, even though Riverside's kind of had maybe some, player personnel things change for them, I think they really have been one of those teams that's gotten better as the season has gone along, and their coach really expressed that after the game last week. So I think, different points in the season, maybe they're a different team to play. But I do like what East Mills has done throughout the season. Both teams have lost to AHST by 10 points, so it's very similar there. And Colby Jennings, the running back for East Mills, has been doing some really good things, and you've got some good things with Kenneth Cleary on the other side for Griswold. So, very similar teams. I just kind of like the way that East Mills is playing a little bit better right now. You mentioned that game last week. Griswold a little bit uninspired maybe in that game against Riverside, but I think East Mills got a little bit of an edge here. I'll go with them.
Okay, that's two. Mr. Mullinex, what do you like?
Okay. Well, yeah, I don't really have too much down other than talking about Colby Jennings. For East Mills, he's averaging about 6.5 yards a carry and 12 touchdowns in the season. And you can't talk about Griswold without talking about Kenneth Cleary, Caleb Schaff, and Tyler Mulbauer. You know, those three guys back there just really get the job done for Griswold. I'm going to go with Griswold this week because, like what you said, Jim, I don't if they have a loss, I can see Coach Everett kind of bouncing back with this group, especially at home. He's pretty hardcore, and they're going to – get the nose back to the grindstone, and I think they'll grind one out. It'll be a tough ball game. You hate to see Griswold fall into something here, but I think they'll bounce back.
Okay. That's two apiece, two for Griswold, two for East Mills. Game four, Logan Magnolia at AHST as we stay in this district. I mentioned AHST has already won the district title. They're 5-0, 7-0 overall. Logan Magnolia is one of those four teams that's right in the mix for anywhere from second to fifth place in the district right now, and they sit at 3-2. You know, it's a big opportunity here for Logan Magnolia. They need this victory. But it's the wrong team to be playing to have to need a victory, especially at Avoca. I just don't see how AHST loses this football game at home, and I'm going to take the Vikings. Chris?
Yeah, and Logan Magnolia has been one of those teams that you've kind of looked at some of those losses earlier in the year and scratched your head a little bit, but as the season has progressed, you've kind of noticed that maybe, well, that wasn't maybe as tough a loss as we had thought before, because some of those other teams they lost to have looked a little bit better since then, but I still think, like you said, this is a tough place to go on the road to try to get a victory. AHST are riding a lot of confidence right now, and a team that I'm sure they'll be wanting to be ready to beat. So I'll go with AHST.
Okay. Matt, are you going to try the limb pick here?
Excuse me. Well, you know, it's Loma that AHST is playing. AHST's Bauer Camper, 11 touchdowns this season. And one of the real things I didn't realize until I kind of got to going here is Herps, the quarterback for AHST, he's only a sophomore. And he has 539 rushing yards, 5 touchdowns. Throwing the ball decent, completing over 50%, only 1 interception on the season and 7 touchdowns. So I'm definitely going to go with the HST as opposed to that team from the South. So,
okay, from the South.
And you know, Loma has gone
in Harrison County.
South
Harrison
of what?
County.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, south of my place.
South of the promised land.
The old home. Loma's gone one loss, so this is the week that they lose.
Oh, so, yep. Okay, gotcha. So it's just
in the pecking
keeping,
order.
Yeah, just yep, keeping tabs.
Just keeping, yep.
All right. Got to keep with the pattern here. Doug, what do you like?
Upset special.
Ooh.
I got to gain a little ground on Chris. And I don't know. Yeah, I picked against AHST several times earlier this year, and every time I get beat. But one of these times I have to get one, don't I?
No,
maybe?
You
no?
don't.
Darn it. All right.
No, we're and that's I guess that's why I threw this game on the list, just because looking at that district standings right now, like I said, after that – I think everybody had an idea where that district was going to go, and then Riverside beat Griswold. All of a sudden, everything kind of changed, and this is one of those opportunity games now for Logan Magnolia, but they're going to have to really step up and play. I was wondering if somebody would step out there on a limb. Doug did. Let's move on to game number 5. Audubon is at home against Martinsdale St. Mary's here in this Class A District 7 game. Chris, you get first dibs.
Well, I like what Audubon's done here this season. They're having a really good year, and I think they're really excited about the way that their program's going. They've run 5 games in a row here and really are looking pretty good. Martinsdale St. Mary's is one of those teams that's going to throw the ball a lot, so that will be something they have to look out for. But I think Audubon's the better team here, and I'll take them here at home.
Okay, one for the Wheelers. Matt?
Yeah, I think once you got to going looking on paper with this ball game, you kind of – see Martinsdale St. Mary's, that you know, total yards on the season a little over 2,000, right in pace with the Audubon up there. And like Chris said, they do throw the ball. Their quarterback is completing just shy of 60% of his passes, so doing an excellent job there. You know, Martinsdale St. Mary's, they play on that turf field over there. I think that's very conducive for their type of style when they do have a home game. I think this will come down to a little bit of the weather. And if Martinsdale St. Mary's going to rely on the pass, that's going to work against them, I think, the later on here we are in this season. I like the way Audubon's just kind of doing it on the ground, a little bit of mixture, but mostly on the ground. They play a tough defense, so I'm going to go with the Wheelers.
Okay. Well, that's 2 for the Wheelers. Doug, how about the Blue Devils? Any interest in that?
No. I'm going to take the Wheelers. I agree with Matt. I think you go from that artificial surface to grass, and you feel just a step slower, you know. And then with the weather, you know, this fall, and we're getting later in the season, just not as easy to pass the ball. So I'm going to take the Wheelers.
Okay. Well, I'm going to make this unanimous, too. You know, everybody's talking about, oh, the passing game this, and they can do that, and they can do the other thing. They're 2-5, guys. They haven't been doing much, at least not when it comes to winning football games down the stretch, and I don't think they're going to do it again this year. The Wheelers are, dare I say it, on a roll right now. And, you know, like I said, again, we saw them early in the season. Their 2 losses came at the beginning of the year in non-district play. They were banged up against Riverside, lost that game. We were shocked. They turned around, played AHST, a very good AHST team, and we're still kind of finding their bearings at the time and lost that one. But they haven't lost since we've been there. I'm surprised they haven't called us and said, Don't come back. But no, I like Audubon in this one. I don't see Martinsdale St. Mary's winning this one on the road. Let's move to Class 2A District 8 right now. It's Shenandoah and Clarinda. That game is at Clarinda tonight. It's the, it's a big game locally. Let's just put it that way. Matt, you get first dibs at this one. What do you like?
I think they call this the Page County Bowl, don't they?
Super Bowl. Down there. Page County,
yeah.
Super Bowl.
Page County, oh. I think this is kind of like a playoff game for these two teams. I think, you know, if I'm not mistaken, you know, whether Shenandoah maybe keeping in the mix or Clarinda going to solidify themselves there in the in the records as far as making the playoffs, because Shenandoah still has Clarence Knight and Red Oak next week, and Clarinda has to turn around and play Kemper next week. So, you know, Clarinda really has things going here. Not quite sure what happened last week in that loss to Greene County by 3 points. And you got Shenandoah coming over, coming off a victory over the Academy. You know, whatever that's worth there. Boy, this was just a tough game on paper to call because I'm not quite sure, but I'm just going to go with Clarinda at home.
Okay, one for Clarinda at home. Doug, what do you like?
I agree with Matt. It's a tough one to figure out because Shen beat Greene County. Clarinda lost to him. Then you look at Clarinda. They beat Obig, and Shenandoah lost Obig, I think. So, you know, it's a mix of scores, and I don't know. Clarinda seems like they dropped a few games at the beginning of the year against some a little bit bigger schools, a little bit tougher competition, and they've kind of been on a roll lately, and so I'm going to stick with Clarinda at home.
Okay. That's two for Clarinda here. You know, this, again, one of these district deals. There are only seven teams in the district. Six of them are still in the mix with 2 weeks left as far as the playoffs go, and these are two of the teams that are still in the hunt looking for a playoff berth. You know, if this were at Shenandoah, I might think a little differently, but I'm going to stay with Clarinda at home. You know, we saw them first game of the year against Atlantic, and they didn't look good. They just didn't look good at all. But they had this wacky new offense that they were trying, and they were still figuring things out. I don't think they knew how to run it at that point either. But obviously, some things have gone right for them since then. So I'm going to go with Clarinda here at home. Chris?
Yeah, this like the guys have said already, that's kind of a tough game to gauge by how the teams have played. They're up and down, and I think they're both young teams for the most part, and they both have young coaches that are trying to do different things there. I believe Coach Diekman there at Shenandoah has only been there a couple of years now, and it's a brand new first season there for Clarinda's head coach. So you're still trying to work through the process a little bit, but I think the home field does play a big role in this game. It usually tends to be that way a little bit. So I'll go with Clarinda here as well.
Okay, well, that's a clean sweep. Everybody likes Clarinda here in this one. Okay, we're six games in. Time to take a break. We'll do that and have the last two games for you when we come back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, for Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Online banking adds convenience to your life. Hi, this is Ellen at Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic, and we invite our members to check out a new and easy way to be a stay-at-home banker by visiting our user-friendly website, nishnavalley.com. We have free bill pay, e-statements, you can make transfers from one account to another, look at the status of a check, fill out a loan application, and even mobile banking, and it's all on one login. Check us out at nishnavalley.com. Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic, think beyond the bank.
And back on Who's Going to Win, two games left to take a look at here this week. A couple of 3A District 1 games we're going to have on the list this week. Lewis Central is on the road at Glenwood in the first one that we have to look at. Doug, you get first crack at this one. What do you like?
What did Glenwood do last week?
What did Glenwood do last
week? Not much.
Pretty much.
Who did they play?
Week.
I don't remember.
They played Creston.
Oh.
They were beaten 49-21 by Creston.
Ooh.
On the road.
Yeah, it was on the road. I don't know. This is a tough one because I'm disappointed in that score. I thought Glenwood, you know, had been shown some things this year, and I didn't know how tough Creston was this year. So that's surprising. And then LC really did not show a whole lot against Harlan. I was expecting a lot closer game with that. You know, we saw LC in Atlantic, and they looked very talented and big and fast and everything else, and they just didn't do a whole lot. But well, this is a tough one. I'm going to take LC. I don't know why, but I'm just going to take them.
Okay, well, that's some solid prognostication Wow. there, Doug. I like that. And I'm going to follow right along in your footsteps. I don't know either. I have no clue. You know, Glenwood can play well against certain teams, and then they just struggle against others. I mean, Harlan had to rally to beat them, and then they turn around, and, well, they're 1-3 in the district, so you go figure that one out. But, you know, Lewis Central, too, I picked them last week over Harlan. I was kind of disappointed in the way that game got started last week, but they were running uphill the whole time. But they're still very much in control of their playoff destiny, and I just like Lewis Central's size. I just think they're going to win this ball game, even though it is on the road. It'll be a tough matchup, I think, though. I think Glenwood has enough to give them a good run. Chris?
Yeah, I was very disappointed last week with the way that Glenwood came out and played. I thought that game against Creston was, you know, a good opportunity for them in the district to try to make their mark and make a run here towards the postseason. I think Coach Foss has done some good things down there, and they've started to kind of turn the program in the right direction, at least. But the last 2 weeks have been really disappointing. That loss up at Sergeant Bluff was a big loss, and then going on the road and not being in the game much against Creston was tough to take. And I think Lewis Central, they can throw the ball around from time to time. And Austin Simmons pretty much is their offense. If he's going, they're going to be going. If he's not, then they're in trouble. But the way that Glenwood's confidence is right now, I don't like it. So I'm going to go with Lewis Central.
Okay. Tough for you to have to say that, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Matt, what do you like?
Well, you know, yeah, there's a lot of stuff you can throw out. You've got Glenwood, whose offense is actually leading District 1, but like Chris said, the last couple of weeks, you wouldn't know that, the way they've kind of gone out and laid a couple of goose eggs out there. So, I don't know. It could, you know, which Glenwood team shows up. I think this is kind of, over the past few years, kind of become a little bit of rivalry in a way with the locations of the two schools in there and button up with districts for the most part, school districts and size and such. So, you know, may this is a good time for Glenwood to step up and grab one from Lewis Central. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the Glenwood Rams and their running game is going to overpower Lewis Central.
Okay. Well, we have somebody with
them. Yeah. I mean, hey, Harlan ran all over Lewis Central last week. Glenwood, that's their forte, so we'll see.
Yeah, and Glenwood, they played a nice ball game against Harlan, just came up a little short at the end. So not such a terrible limb pick at all. All right, one for Glenwood, three for Lewis Central. Last game on our list this week is an opposite game. You got Atlantic on the road at Harlan. You got 6-1 overall versus 1-6 overall. You got 4-0 in the district versus 0-4 in the district. Pretty much says it all. I'm going to go with Atlantic. No, I'm kidding. I'm going with Harlan. No, I'm going with Harlan. Psych. This is a tough place for Atlantic to be right now. And
he's made a lot of people crash.
Yeah, I know. No, Harlan's a tough matchup right now for Atlantic. Harlan's a tough matchup for a lot of teams, but tough matchup for Atlantic right now. The Trojans just have to play so well in so many facets of the ball game, and they just haven't been able to put all those things together at one time. It's just a tough task having to do this on the road. So, Harlan, Chris?
Yeah, you know, you kind of start to hear the same, you know, scenario each week, you know, when you talk about Atlantic and the way that the season's gone. Obviously not what they would like to see out there on the field, and it's been extremely tough for them to get anything going. And like you said, I think the biggest part of that is they haven't seen the team play at least well in every facet of the game yet, all in one game here this season. And that makes it awfully tough to win against anybody. And against a great team that they're going to be facing this week, it's not going to get it done. So I'll take Harlan here also.
Okay, that's two. Matt?
I'm going to go with Harlan as well. Of course, last week they played really, really well, and things seem to be coming together for them here as they enter this second half of the season for them, or I guess the playoff season for them. They're kind of getting things going, especially the ground game now. So defense, of course, is always tough. They always play tough defense. So I'm going to go with the Cyclones at home.
Okay. That is three. Doug, last pick of the week.
Well, I think, Harlan's, I'm sure, the favorite, and I'm going to take Harlan. It's a game where Atlantic, they're certainly going to play the underdog card in the locker room and, inspire the kids to, have a little extra effort in this game. You know, on the road, they have nothing to lose. I have a feeling it's going to be a closer ball game than we all think it might be, and I think Atlantic will play hopefully some of their best ball of the year, but I think Harlan's got too much, and they're going to win.
Okay. That's 4 across the board for Harlan in that last game. Very good, guys. Thanks for being here again tonight. Appreciate it. That Harlan Atlantic game we'll have for you coming up here in just a little bit. Kickoff 7:30 tonight, so a little longer pregame show for you here again this evening. That's going to do it for us here tonight. For Chris Parks, Matt Mullenix, and Doug Leonard, I'm Jim Field. Thanks for joining us here on Who's Going to Win on KJAN.
Online banking adds convenience to your life. Hi, this is Ellen at Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic, and we invite our members to check out a new and easy way to be a stay-at-home banker by visiting our user-friendly website, nishnavalley.com. We have free bill pay, e-statements, you can make transfers from one account to another, look at the status of a check, fill out a loan application, and even mobile banking, and it's all on one login. Check us out at nishnavalley.com. Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. Think beyond the bank.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.